Good morning. It is a joy to be here with you this morning. You know, last week we sang the hallelujahs and we celebrated the resurrection. We should be the most joyful people in the world. But do you know Christians who are sourpuss Christians? You know, those people who walk around looking like they've been sucking on a lemon. And anything you do or anything you say, you know they're going to disapprove. Well, I don't think that's very Christian behavior at all. The scriptures say rejoice. And we have had some beautiful rejoicing music this morning. Live joyfully. Now, being joyful is not about a Pollyanna sort of being happy all the time. That would be unrealistic. We're talking about a soul deep fountain of joy and living from that. What we will talk about today is how to do that. How do we live joyfully in spite of all the trials and tribulations of life? Much of this is from the book that Laura just showed you, the Book of Joy. And it's an interview with two old friends, the Dalai Lama and Bishop Desmond Tutu. And both have seen a lot of tribulation in their lives. And there's truth to be learned from both men. But we will be focusing this morning on the Christian scriptural truths that we find here, or that I should say are the basis for why these ways make us joyful. I think, too, you're going to notice that there is overlap between the things that make us joyful and the list that Peter gave us last week of ways that people are changed by facing death. I'll leave you to ponder that a bit. But let's begin simply. Suppose this morning you got out of bed and you stumped your toe and nothing has gone right since then. And besides that, you didn't sleep because you were worried about a relative. How do you turn that kind of day around? First of all, there's acceptance. You know, in real life, there are going to be days when you stump your toe. And that relative is, after all, something you cannot control. You know the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Acceptance is really just trusting God. Thus, acceptance is looking at the reality of life, knowing that God can help you through that reality. Before becoming a pastor, I was a cancer nurse. Patients who accepted their disease were able to move forward from there in fighting it. Acceptance does not mean being passive. It means recognizing reality, seeing what we can and cannot change, and carrying on the fight from there. As the next line of the Serenity Prayer says, the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. I heard that over here. Y'all know it. We also reframe. We think about things differently. Jesus said, do not worry. Look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. If you trust God, and you reframe your need for food and clothes, you can look to the sky and enjoy the flowers and see that God is there. Get a better perspective on your situation. Reframing works for big things and for little things. As I was going home from one of the services last week, I was in the left lane on Nova, getting ready to turn left onto Dunlop, when this big black truck was right on my bumper. Any of y'all drive a big black truck? Am I in trouble here? I mean, there weren't 2 inches there. And I guess when I didn't move over as he thought I should have, he roared out around me and he pulled right in front of me then. And he also turned left. And then he pulled into that drive that goes both to the hospital and to the Boston Market. I was hungry at that hour and going to the Boston Market myself. But when he pulled in there, I thought, oh my goodness, here I was thinking bad things about this poor man, and he's got someone in the hospital. Well, as it happened, the poor man was also hungry. He was going to Boston Market. But by then, I was lost. I had reframed my thinking about him. I was no longer angry and stewing. I was thinking about him as a fellow human being. It makes a difference. And it made a difference to the rest of my day. I didn't have to stew about that man in the big black truck. Forgiveness is critical to living joyfully. When we carry around our hurts, our anger, our slights, when we stew, we become focused on the things that make us miserable. Bishop Tutu talks a lot about the reconciliation, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission's work in South Africa after the end of apartheid. They had like trials where people came together, the people who had caused much harm came together with the people they had harmed. At one meeting, a woman got up and she walked across the room and embraced a young man who had lured her son to his death. And she said, "My child, we forgive you." That was powerful faith. We really do not forgive for the other person's sake. We forgive for our own sake. Unforgiveness eats you up from the inside out. If we cannot forgive on our own, it's a good thing to pray about and ask God's help. And sometimes it takes many times of working on that. When we trust God, we also see that God can redeem any situation. After all, God redeemed the death of his own son on a tree, as the choir sang about. Used it for our salvation, for the salvation of humankind. Surely then, God can redeem our suffering, our bad times. Don't say this to someone in the midst of suffering, though. This is something to look back on. But when we look back, we remember how Paul says that God can turn all things to good. Bishop Tutu told about how Nelson Mandela endured all those years in prison. He went in an angry young man. But after all those years, he came out a leader who forgave his jailers and his persecutors. God redeemed his suffering. Every one of us can find some time in our lives that God has redeemed and has used for good. 25 years ago, I had a diagnosis of breast cancer. For a long time, I wouldn't even tell my patients. But finally, when I began to tell patients and later my parishioners, those people who had had breast cancer themselves found it encouraging to know that their nurse or later their pastor was a survivor. It is through our own difficult times that we learn to have compassion for others. And compassion is another of those ways we are joyful. The word compassion literally means to suffer with. When Jesus wept with Martha and Mary after the death of their brother Lazarus, he was feeling their pain. There are times when we can help those who are grieving or suffering. We can feed the hungry, care for the sick, give coats and blankets to those who are cold. At other times, the best we can do is to be with people in their suffering, to walk alongside and suffer with. But even in the midst of difficult times, we find things to be grateful for. All the scriptures we read today associated rejoicing with gratitude, with being thankful. It rained last night, and I was grateful for the rain. We don't want to live in a desert. Being grateful does something for us. It helps us focus on what is good in our lives, on our blessings, rather than focusing on lack and blame. One of our great problems today is an attitude of scarcity. There are many in our nation and in this world who are in need. But most of us live abundantly. And yet, Americans have become convinced that there is scarcity, that someone wants to take away what is theirs. If we simply change our perspective from one of scarcity and focus on the abundance of God's gifts, we will find ourselves less frightened, less defensive, less angry. When we see our abundance, then we become willing to share it. And generosity is another factor that leads to joy. Ever given a gift that you knew was just exactly what somebody wanted? How did that make you feel? Have you had the opportunity to serve the homeless or the poor or the elderly or to go on a mission trip? How does giving and serving make you feel? When you think about it, it really is strange that in the midst of abundance, so many of us are greedy, grasping, and hoarding, when it is giving, sharing, and serving that makes us feel good, that makes us joyful. If you are having difficulty finding joy in life, go out and serve. Serving makes us joyful because it turns our focus outside ourselves. Selfish, self-centered people will never be joyful. They may be happy for moments when they achieve some goal, when they're winning, but that core joy that comes from the soul is beyond them. They will not even understand it. It is only when we turn our focus from self to others that we find joy. Jesus was constantly healing or helping someone. He told a story about a man who was beaten and left by the side of the road. You know the story. The priest and the Levite went by on the other side of the road. And yet, the Samaritan, remember that the Samaritans were scorned and shunned by the Jews Jesus was talking with. That Samaritan was the hero of the story. He stopped and cared for the man. That priest and that Levite probably forgot all about the man they saw on the side of the road, or they blamed him. He shouldn't have been walking alone on that road anyway. But that Samaritan, he made a friend that day. And I would be willing to wager that man was a friend for life. You see, he saw the man not as an inconvenience, but as a person. His focus was on that person. Turning our focus from our own importance to thinking of others is humility. And humility is another of the aspects that makes us joyful. You know the Micah passage. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And Jesus spoke of humility in Matthew 20. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. If we are always worrying about appearing to be great, a holy religious follower, if we're always worried about our appearance to the world, we'll be miserable. That's what those sourpuss Christians we started with do. They're worried about looking holy. But when we can see ourselves as like other people, fallible and vulnerable, maybe not terrible, then we can see other people as fallible and vulnerable, maybe not terrible. And when we see ourselves with humility, we can laugh at ourselves. The final clue to living a joyful life is a sense of humor. This is not the humor that puts other people down, but humor that is capable of poking fun at ourselves. We can choose to laugh at events or to be traumatized. Like the time at a Christmas Eve service at St. Paul's, very formal, very beautiful service, when I tripped on the hem of my robe going down up some steps and landed face first in the poinsettias. As I said, I could have been traumatized. I choose to laugh. It's a choice. To summarize, the things we have talked about as needed for a joyful life are acceptance, changing our perspective, gratitude, generosity, compassion, forgiveness, humility, and a sense of humor. If we truly know God's love, it will leak out of us in just those ways. Would you pray with me? Blessed Lord, help us to be people of generous and loving hearts, of twinkling eyes and large smiles. Help us to be people of compassion and forgiveness. Help us to walk humbly with you through the next week. Amen.